Welcome to the Hometown Hero Outdoors Podcast. Hometown Hero Outdoors is glad to partner with the veteran-owned Best Defense Armory and Range in Forest Lake, Minnesota as our preferred firearm supplier. They also offer a state-of-the-art indoor firing range that is open to the public. Visit them at bdarmoryandrange.com to browse their inventory. Here are your hosts, Daniel Meyer and Chris Tatro.
All right, everyone. Welcome back to the Hometown Hero Outdoors Podcast. Today, we have Lonnie Lukash. Lonnie is with Eden Prairie Shields out of Minnesota. Eden Prairie Shields is a very big supporter of Hometown Hero Outdoors. They've been very generous to us, so we're excited to have Lonnie here today. A little bio about Lonnie. Lonnie grew up in the country outside of Ord, Nebraska. He spent 20 years serving his country, the United States Air Force. He's an avid bird hunting, been an avid bird hunter since he was 12 years old. He likes to trap shoot and do sporting clays. He also helps a lot of others by doing volunteer work. He is currently married to a wonderful wife named Sarah for 11 years. And he also has two children, Wilma and Pearl. Well, welcome to the show. Thanks for coming.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Pretty appreciate having you on, Lanny.
Thank you.
So, really appreciate Eden Prairie Shields first and foremost, and everything that they do for us. They are a very phenomenal retail store that supports the communities very much. So, how long have you been with Eden Prairie?
I've just been since this store opened. The big store opened here in July of 2020. They had the smaller store, obviously, but I've been here since it opened. So it's been a little over 2 years.
That's awesome. Yeah. Were you with Shields before then? Anywhere else, or just?
I worked in the Omaha, Nebraska Shield store for 10 years part time.
Okay. So, cool. Yeah, what brought you up to the Eden Prairie area?
My wife, she's a nurse practitioner, and she was going to school for about 3.5 years before we moved up here. And she was looking for a job, and couldn't find anything in Omaha locally. So Minnesota is one of the places to go. And I had a friend that I worked with at Shields, and he really talked Minnesota up. And I said, well, that'd be a great place to go. I mean, it's a lot of things to do outdoors and a lot of fishing and stuff like that. So I thought that'd be a really good opportunity for both of us just to, and I knew the store up here was opening because we moved up here in 2019. The store hadn't opened yet. So thought there'd be some opportunity to build my career at Shields there at that, yeah, that point in time. So.
And there was a lot of hype around that new Eden Prairie store opening up, and it's pretty awesome. I haven't had the chance to go in there yet.
No, so you're missing out.
Back in 2019.
Yeah, you're missing out. It is the largest sporting goods store in Minnesota. It's 250,000 square feet, and it's pretty impressive. We've got John Randall, a robotic of him in there. We also have one of Herb Brooks. You walk by him and they'll say different things. The mountain with all the taxidermy is really cool. The fish, the aquarium as you go in the store is quite impressive as well. I mean, it's huge. There's all kinds of different tropical fish in there, and it's definitely something you can see. So,
and the staple, the icon, you got the big Ferris wheel right in the middle.
Yes, you gotta ride the Ferris wheel. That's always that's a must when you visit Shields. So it's there's a lot of the newer stores that are putting them in. I don't think all the stores have them yet, but yeah, you definitely have to ride the Ferris wheel.
You guys also have that indoor rink there. It's not real ice, but you can utilize real blades on that. Is that right?
I believe so. There is a hockey rink over there. You can try out like different skates and different hockey sticks, so on and so forth. So yes, that's another opportunity for us.
So awesome. Yeah. Well, yeah, we got hooked up with Lonnie today with Austin Link and Lauren that are individuals that we continually communicate with. They've supported a few different things with us. Our annual raffle, they helped us out with a lot of our items when it came to our last year's raffle, which would have been drawn this last March of 2022. And they also made a large donation towards Officer Eric Mattson before it was last fall, because we were supposed to go to Alaska with Eric. And they made a huge donation to him for clothing, to outfit, to ensure that his trip was comfortable. So that was really appreciated by Eric. And I know he talks about it every day. And we did a podcast with him pretty recently, and he brought it up again, and he was super excited. So we love our relationship with Shields and look forward to the future.
And it was a lot more than just the donation. They brought you guys in, you know, did some shopping.
Yeah, yeah,
the,
no.
The whole Shields experience.
Yeah. It was super cool. Were you there that day? Did you see Eric?
I don't believe so. No, I've seen it on our I looked at our Facebook feed, and I don't believe I was. I think it was on a Tuesday, and I believe I was off that day. So, but I did see it, and it was, they did a really nice just honoring him and his service and everything. So I was, it was really cool to see.
The cool part was that Eric was actually a former employee of Shields down in Rochester. So
okay.
I think that was pretty exciting for Shields and him.
Absolutely. So.
All right. Well, so let's talk about your military career. We did 20 years in the Air Force. Want to tell us what that looked like? How many years and where?
Yeah, that can be here for a while. well, I started out, obviously, I was enlisted, obviously. I started out, went down to basic training down at Lackland Air Force Base in San Antonio, Texas. I went through my 6 weeks of training there, and then I did my technical school training at that point in time. That was in September of 94. By the time I got done with all my training and everything, it was like December. I went home for Christmas. Then I spent a little time with my family, and then I went to my first duty assignment, which was Malmstrom Air Force Base in Montana. It's right outside of Great Falls, Montana. I was my whole career, I was a vehicle operator / dispatcher. So equivalent to 88 Mike, you guys are probably familiar with that. I was... I started there, and I was there for 5 years, really enjoyed it. My base that we supported, we had intercontinental ballistic missiles, and then we also had the KC-135s, and that unit was the 43rd. They actually moved down to Florida during my time there, and all we had at that point in time was missiles. After I got done with Malmstrom Air Force Base, I got stationed in Kunsan Air Base in South Korea. I was there for a year. Our mission was there, obviously, was to, we had two fighter squadrons of F-16s. So we supported those, transportation, obviously. And after I left there, I got stationed back in Nebraska, where I'm from, at Offutt Air Force Base. I was there during 9/11 and was there. I was supposed to go on the guard about a year earlier than I did, but because of stop loss, they kept us a little bit longer on active duty, which was totally fine. And then I joined the Nebraska Air National Guard thereafter, and I served a total of 11 years there. So I've been places overseas. Like I said, I was in South Korea, was in Qatar, Guam, Turkey. Let's see where else. Trying to think. Saudi Arabia was there for a short tour. United Arab Emirates, Qatar. I think that's pretty much it. So been a few dots on the map. So
a little bit of a world tour. That's pretty cool.
For sure.
How's the airbase in Montana? I've never really heard many people talk about that.
It was okay. You know, it's first duty assignment. You know, I was a younger GI, and it's just you don't appreciate it for what it is. I wish I could go back and do some things that I didn't do there. I should have gotten a little more involved in the hunting and some of the different things that I didn't do, but it was all right. You know, it was a good place to get my feet wet, and I learned a lot, and I grew, you know, as most military members do when you first start out. You kind of, you know, you need some guidance and some mentorship for sure. And I did receive that from a lot of the people I worked with. So it worked out.
Kind of join the military young. And then, you know, it's like living in a fraternity.
Yeah, it really is.
Your first 100%. Time out on your own.
Yeah, sure is. You know, and you learn a lot of things. You know, it's life experiences, you know. As you get older, you learn things. There's no instruction book. You just kind of live life and figure things out as you go. So.
Well, from your bio, you said you're a bird hunter. You didn't do any, like, go find any sage grouse or anything like that when you're out there?
I did pheasant hunt a little bit out there, but then again, you know, I was at that time, I was really big into trap shooting. I really, I got started into trap shooting when I was about 15 years old, and I really got involved in that hard and heavy. And I continue to do that. I even shot a little bit of registered out there when I was out there, and shot my best single score ever. I shot 90 out of 100 out there. But I did a little bit of pheasant hunting, not a lot, but I did some. And I should have, again, sage grouse would have been really cool, but I didn't take advantage of that.
Those things are a lot bigger.
Yeah,
bigger than you think.
Yeah, for sure.
I was just watching an episode of Meat Eater not that long ago, and when they harvested a couple, and I was like, dang, I didn't realize they're that large.
Yeah. I forget what their weight is off the top of my head, but they're a big bird. So
I wonder how they taste. They gotta be pretty good.
Yeah, I don't know. Never.
I'm a fan of sage, so there's a reason why that they're called sage grouse, I assume, right?
Well, yeah, for sure.
Well, we'll have to get out there with Team Montana one day and give it a try.
There you go.
Right? That's cool. So then you said you had a couple deployments. So I think you said Qatar, right, for sure?
Yes, Qatar. That was I was in a special operations unit there. Now, when I say I was in a special operations unit, I want to clarify something. I was not the guy going over there kicking down doors and taking care of the bad guys. I literally transported people. I just want to make that very clear. I was with SOCSENT. I was in headquarters commandant, and basically what we did is we picked people up from the airport and transport them to the base, and then we run them between Camp Osalea and Camp give me a second here. Camp Osalea, and it was Camp Osalea, Doha Airport, and LUD. Gosh, I can remember that. It's been a while. It has been. But we just transport people, and we took a lot of the special ops guys, just, you know, get them from point A to point B. I didn't do anything special, but, you know, I guess give everybody a ride, for lack of a better term.
Yeah. How'd you think about it there?
What's that?
What'd you think of that place? What'd you think of Qatar?
It was okay. I guess I didn't really like the fact that Al Jazeera was just down the road, and they were showing some pretty graphic things on TV at the time when I was there, and I didn't really particularly care for that. But other than that, I think, you know, I didn't really have a lot of interaction with the locals. I dealt, you know, sometimes with the third country nationals, and they were always fine. I didn't have any problems with that there. But we went downtown and stuff. Everything was fine. I was, you know, it's a little Qatar is pretty westernized for the most part. So I don't know. It was all right.
Dan, did you go there at all?
No, I only went to Kuwait on R&R. I was there for, I don't know, 18 hours or so before I got on a plane and flew out. But I know from everyone that I know that's been to Qatar, you know, more recently, it's definitely pretty Western, and, you know, they have the ability to like go out now and like shop around on the out of the city and stuff. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, man, I was there, and
they consider it a deployment, but, you know, nowadays it's more of like a little 9 month long vacation.
Yeah, it is. And it wasn't, you know, we always joked about it. We said, you know, the worst thing we had to worry about is the ice cream machine breaking. So, you know, there's a lot worse things you could have, you know.
Well, good thing there wasn't a McDonald's on base.
Yeah, right.
I was in Qatar.
They've got McDonald's even in Afghanistan when I was there in 2012.
Right.
2006, I went to Qatar. I was there for 5 days. We did a R&R, our deployment with the 34th ID here in Minnesota. We got extended for the surge, and what had happened was I ended up taking leave super early into our deployment. So, like, literally, we got into Iraq. We were there for a month, and I came home for my leave for 2 weeks. So then we ended up doing our whole additional year in country, and then it got extended. So I hadn't been on leave for, at that point, 11 months, and we're expected to stay for another, you know, 4 or 5 months. And so they ended up trying to recycle people back through leave, and they weren't sending all the way back to stateside. So I got to pick between Kuwait or Qatar. So I ended up in Qatar.
Sure.
Which was different to me. You know, I mean, I had been in Kuwait, you know, but we never went in city. But that was it was a pretty rich country, very well developed. I remember there being there was a TGI Fridays on base or a Chili's.
You're correct. Yep.
And that kind of blew my mind.
Yeah.
And then you got a couple beer tickets per day.
Yes. Yep. Absolutely.
And I remember people selling them for like $50 a ticket.
Ooh, they were not supposed to do that.
Oh, they were doing it.
Oh, they should not have been. I tell you, our senior leadership made it very clear if we did that, they were going to hang us out to dry.
Oh man, there was people doing it all over the place.
No, I would never do that to anybody, and I wouldn't do that to anybody. That's just wrong. So
no, not you guys. It was probably the soldiers that, you know, were coming there on R&R. They're getting banned out. You know,
that was like one of the biggest disappointments coming back. We flew through Kyrgyzstan, which is a weird country. It's like Russia/China kind of.
Okay.
And we were supposed to get, you know, the two free drink tickets or two drink tickets a day when we were there. And our company commander, Chris knows about a bunch of stuff that happened on my deployment when we were there. But our company commander was like, nope, not doing it. You guys just hang out, take a nap, and wait for the 2 days that we've got to be here.
Oh, wow. Ugh.
The laws or the rules. I remember we ended up going to a mall in Qatar, mm-hmm. and they were pretty strict about photography.
Yes. I can't remember which country I was in. It was Qatar or the, I think it was the, yeah, it was Qatar, I think. The American Embassy downtown. We went down there. We visited one time, and man, somebody made a mistake of taking a picture of the embassy, and man, they got, oof, they were confiscating their camera, and they got in a lot of trouble over that. So
they don't. Yeah, I remember someone pulled out a camera in the mall, and they confiscated their camera there too.
Yeah. So
it's, do you have any idea like why?
You know, I don't remember what the particulars of it are, but I think with the embassy, they just want people to have pictures of the actual American embassy.
Which that makes sense.
But downtown, I don't remember why. I'm not sure. I just kind of went.
It might be religion based or something. It
probably is. I would imagine so. But I, kind of treaded lightly when I went downtown. So.
And their police drove some pretty extravagant vehicles.
Yeah.
No, yeah, Lamborghinis.
Right. We had, where was it? In the UAE, the United Arab Emirates. I remember the thing that made me laugh probably one of the most is it's a very wealthy country as well. They had a BMW dealership in the bottom of the mall. And I was like, wow, that's pretty.
That's alive. Crazy.
You know, I don't think too many people go to the mall to buy a car, something that high end for sure.
When you got oil it's money. Much.
Wait, yeah. When you got oil money, might as well put a BMW dealership in the mall.
Right.
I mean, meanwhile, we've got our malls have all the discount stores.
Oh gosh, something else. So
UAE, what was that experience like?
I liked that one as well. That one was a little different. I was more on base. I wasn't traveling as much, and I was actually, I was our day shift supervisor there, so. My guys did the work. I just, supervised it, for lack of a better term, if I'm being real honest with you. But yeah, it was a good experience too. We did different things there, and I'm trying to think what all we did. Just various things. I think one of the things that I enjoyed the most is just interacting with different units, and that was pretty. It was just something different. Nothing crazy, but. Trying to think what all we did over there. Did a lot of things, just trying to pinpoint one. Probably one of my favorite experiences, and I got a picture of it still, is we had, there was an individual, and nothing against security forces, military police, but we had an individual that got a Humvee stuck in a salt marsh. And I just remember it was, my superintendent was so upset about it, and we ended up going pulling it out, and he wanted us to make sure that they dug it out most of the way before we actually pulled it out. And it got a lot of publicity. We sent the picture. I was sitting on I was using the hood of the Humvee as a chair, basically. And then one of my coworkers was standing next to it, and it came up to about his knee. So they really had that thing buried. And I sent the picture to my commander, and she laughed about it. I said, "Can we send this to the base paper?" She's like, "No, I wouldn't do that, Lanny." So
hard pass.
Fair enough, ma'am.
Well, one thing's for sure.
Can't embarrass them too much.
What's that?
Can't embarrass the MPs too much.
Well, I felt bad. Their commander was like was an 03, he was a captain, and he had to go see the Wayne commander, and I'm sure that was not a good conversation.
I imagine not.
We've all been there.
Yeah, I would not have wanted to been in his shoes, because I'm sure he got lit up. So,
well, one thing's for sure, you guys didn't have any issues with being fed well.
No, this is true. I'm not going to deny that. We had, I can't remember. Was it Wednesdays? I think in Qatar on Wednesdays we always had surf and turf. It was either steak or lobster, steak and crab. So crab meat, and that was. I'm not going to say that was a bad deal at all. So yeah, I was, and actually when I was in, Qatar, that was actually an army post I was on, and that was probably the best, some of the best meals I ever had, I'd be honest with you. So, I was kind of surprised, because usually the army is It's not as quite the quality.
There. Well, they wouldn't put Air Force on a base unless they had good food.
Right.
I was about to plug the Air Force here for always having good food, but then you're like, it was an Army base, so
yeah,
go Army, right?
Right. That was the only time I can remember that he had better food than we did. So.
Well, I was on LSA Anaconda in Iraq, which is an Air Force base in Balad, and we were a handful of Army units that were there, but there was a specific Air Force chow hall on base that you had to go to, and their food was always top notch. But the little satellite chow halls they had around the rest of the base was not on par with the Air Force
hall
that we would go to. We would always sneak down to the
boiled eggs.
Yeah. You know, our surf and turf consisted of like a boiled, then grilled pork chop or steak. They would boil it first and then put it on the grill and then and turf. It was wet, now it's dry.
They probably skipped the sous vide part where you put it in the bag and just throw a steak in boiling water.
Yeah. Right. That's pretty, right? We're really bad at that's how they figured it out probably in time. The food, though, we would sneak onto the Air Force chow hall all the time.
Oh, yeah.
And it just blew my mind. Like, I'd finish eating and then come pick up my tray for me as I'm at the table. I'm like, what's going on? Right.
Well, you know,
like, getting me a warm towel when we're done here, too? Or
Right. The thing, looking back, I remember a lot of those guys when I was, you know, a young guy, they were complaining and griping about the food. I'm like, this is top notch, guys. You know, you're not, I don't know, just, I still can't believe some of the stuff that he'd complain about. That I'm like, this is, you know, everything here is good quality food. You know, as a GI, you've got to, everybody deals with it. You deal with kind of somewhat bland food and you kind of have to season it to taste to a certain extent. So, but I still can't wrap my head around that. This is, you know, could be a lot worse. So anyways, but.
Well, so let's transition. So you end up, you get out of the military. And then what do you immediately do after you get out of the military?
When I got out of the military, I started off, I went to school initially. So I was kind of using the Montgomery GI Bill to go to school. And then I was still in the Nebraska Air National Guard. So I made that transition. And then I worked part-time in a couple different places. And then after I got my college, pretty much, I did some deployments as well during that time. And once I got everything done with that, then I started working at a hospital as a security officer. And I started working with Shields just probably a year prior to that, 2009. So,
did you meet your wife before then, or when you were working at the hospital?
I actually met her before. She was actually going starting nursing school, and I went on deployment. We met briefly before that, and. Then I met her, and then we kept in touch, and I, you know, deployed, and then we got more serious after we got back, and it was a good decision. She's definitely my better half, so.
Aren't they all?
Yeah. Sure. I mean, my wife makes me a better person. I'm not going to lie. So.
Yeah, I hear you. Well, it's a team deal, you know?
It is 100%.
And then you have two kiddos.
Yeah. Two dogs actually.
Oh, dogs.
Did I say kids?
Well, they're kids.
Yeah.
Dogs. I just skipped over.
What kind of dogs do you have?
They're mixes. We actually, we got one. We used to rescue dogs. So going back to volunteer work, we rescued dogs from the Great Plains Pointer Rescue, where we saved about, I don't know, 20 to 30 dogs over 7 to 8 years. Pearl is our youngest. She's almost 10 years old. She's, and how this got together, I don't know. She is a, so we had them DNA tested. She is a Brittany Spaniel, Wheaton Terrier, Great Dane mix. So she looks like a Dalmatian. And then my other dog, Wilma, she's almost 15, and she's getting really old. She is a flat-coated retriever, Staffordshire Terrier mix. So they're both mixes. My dog don't have a pedigree. So.
Dan awesome. And I actually have dogs that are relatives. We both have German Shorthair Pointers.
Oh, GSPs. Nice.
Yeah.
Great dogs. Phenomenal.
Yeah,
I've got to constantly feed my treats because I get home from work and then do these on Monday nights. So
that oh, sure.
Whine at us.
Yeah.
No, they never do that.
No, never. Yeah. I got Quinn and then he has Milo. They are, if I remember right, they're not the same litter.
Just one part, I think. No, I think it's the same dad, though.
Same dad for sure.
Okay. Yep. Now we rescued quite, like I said, 20 to 30 dogs, and it's amazing how different their personalities are. Every dog's just a little bit different. So it's, I don't know, it was a lot of fun. So
yeah.
Do you hunt with your dogs at all, or?
No, they're both pets. I'd like to, but they're both pets. I would, I have hunted. I went this last November, one of my coworkers and I, and his father-in-law, he's got a, gosh, I cannot remember for the life of me what breed it is, but this, his dog is just a tank. That thing, it's just a machine. We went up to a preserve and we shot 15, 20 birds, and it's just on point. I mean, if he gets on point on something, you know, get ready because the bird's ready to fly up. So
it was, what kind of dog was that?
I can't remember. Dog was Rizzy. I cannot remember what kind. It was red, and I cannot remember what breed it was specifically. I apologize for that. So
it's all right.
But
well, that's cool. Well, let's talk about your outdoor life. You said that since you've been 12, you've kind of been an outdoorsy person.
Yes.
What was it that really got you caught onto that, or who introduced you to the outdoors? Where it's been in your blood since?
My dad. Like I said, we always grew up kind of in a rural area, and you know, my dad always, like, he loved to coyote hunt. I never really did got into coyote hunting, but and then pheasants, because the game was always pretty plentiful, and rabbits, so on and so forth. And I don't know, just kind of something was there, and it's just, you know, something you grow up in and kind of immerse yourself in, and it's fun. I don't know. There's always that challenge, I guess, to see if you can get game and kind of go from there, I guess. So.
And it was mostly, mostly just bird hunting?
Yeah, mostly bird. I never really got much into big game. The only big game I've ever really got into is antelope. I've got, my brother lives out in western Nebraska now on a ranch, and the ranchers out there, for lack of better terms, do not like antelope. they will gladly let you hunt out there, no problem, because what antelope do essentially is, instead of like a deer will jump over a fence, they will jump, basically will go underneath a fence, and they usually take out the bottom of the barbed wire, that bottom row of barbed wire. And so they're not a big fan of them. So getting permission from all his neighbors was not ever a problem. And I've shot two antelope in my life. But bird hunting just, I don't know, seems like it was just a little more appealing to me. I like to be able to just pull the trigger, I guess, you know, a few more times. And I don't know, just I like that challenge. So. And there's nothing against big game. I mean, guys at big game hunt, good for them. I think it's cool. Don't get me wrong. It's more appealing to me. So
it's crazy hearing about the different game that causes problems, you know, across the United States. Like, you know, Texas obviously has the pigs.
Sure.
Our New England chapter, they do a hunt every year over the, I can't remember what the fields they are. Broccoli.
Broccoli and cabbage.
Yeah, it's like broccoli. So they do a moose hunt because the moose come in there and tear up the fields.
Oh, wow.
That Nebraska has the antelope problem.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's like I said, if you go out west of Nebraska, if you just pound on some doors, you're probably not going to have any problem getting access, you know. So, it was fun. I enjoyed it. Both times I went out with one of my good friends, Stacy. He's a long time. I've known him since I was a young kid. And so it's kind of a nice, fun getaway just for us, you know, kind of just hang out and just hang out with each other and have a good time. So
what's a highlight of your hunting career? Like, what is something that really stands out in your mind? Like, what's a top story?
Ooh. God, I don't know.
I know I put the light on your.
I know. Probably my first antelope, honestly, that was kind of a fun one. It was like 13 and a half inches off from the base, the tip of his horns. That one was kind of a fun one just because I'd never done it before. Other than that, you know, just, I don't really have, I wouldn't say a highlight. It's more just the fun. It's kind of the camaraderie of being out, you know, with amongst friends and family and just something fun to do. And just be outside and, you know, just that opportunity to, you know, get to hunt, you know, a lot of other places mm-hmm. in the world, even there's not, you know, we don't have the opportunity. They don't have the opportunities that we do. So I think that's right. Cool. So, I mean,
any specific like rituals or things that you guys do every year that you have to do?
You know, not really. When I was younger, I guess we did do a little bit of dove hunting, you know, where we go try to go out on opener. That was always kind of fun. And but other than that, not really a specific anything that's written in stone. So sorry.
All right. We all got something.
Yeah.
Sometimes we do. Yeah. Sometimes we don't.
Right.
That's all right. Yeah. So then we'll transition over to your Shields life. So you started in the down, well, I should say right in the middle of the U.S., right?
Right. Yep.
Down in Nebraska.
Yep.
What did you start as down in Nebraska? What was appealing to you about Shields and why you wanted to be there and what you did?
Well, I've always liked Shields. You go in there, the store, it's really nice because you have people that are, you know, really passionate about what they do. People are always very friendly, helpful. They know their products, and that's something that always kind of appealed to me. So, right after I got done with college, I was like, well, my wife and I were talking about different things, different opportunities. She said, well, you know, you like to go hunting, you like to do these different things. So why don't you try to work at a sporting goods store or something like that? And I said, well, I'll give that a shot. And I applied there and I got hired on part time in hardline sales, which is like hunting, fishing, and archery. And I don't do much with archery, I'll be honest with you. I do a little bit with archery, but very
little. Me too. I just pretend like I know what I'm doing.
he's got some pretty awesome bows that aren't his.
Hey, nothing wrong with that.
They're not.
But I like it.
Might have to cut that out. I don't know. We'll find out.
But yeah, I grew up when I was growing up, we fished a little bit. My dad would always take us down. We'd go down to the river and stuff, and we'd fish and we catch different fish. So it's nothing like Minnesota. It's way different, but obviously Nebraska, we don't have the lakes that we do up here, which is really cool. But so yeah, and I was, you know, I like to fish a little bit too. I'm not saying I'm a master angler. I'm no Babe Winkleman by any means, but I enjoy doing it. It's fun. It's very relaxing, and just, I don't know, it's fun, like I said, get outdoors and just have something fun like that to do. But yeah, so I got, like, so getting back to where I started, I started there in 2009, and then I really enjoyed it. I enjoyed working part-time there and just the different people. You really meet some really good folks there. Shields is very selective in the hiring process, and so you meet people that are passionate about the outdoors and just good quality folks and love what they do. So that really appealed to me. And I don't know, just I enjoyed, where else do you get to work where you can talk about hunting and fishing as part of your job? That's, you know, that's, I think,
right.
It should be your dream to do this, something like that. So, but I don't know, it's something that I kind of wanted to get involved in. And I, you know, I really haven't really anything else that I'd like to do better ever since. So
I think that's one of the things that sticks out with Shields too is they make sure that they're pretty selective with the hiring process. You know, there's a lot of outdoor stores, you know, big and small ones where you go to them and someone is just trying to sell you on whatever product they're promoting at that time that they get, you know, the biggest commission from or anything.
Sure.
And with Shields, you actually go in there and you're able to have a conversation with them and figure out what's going to work best for whatever application you're trying to use it for.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Couldn't agree more. And you don't have to, you know, you don't have to pull a number. We're going to get to you as soon as we can. So I think that's always a bonus too. So.
Yeah. There's people around every corner. I know we went in and did our shopping for our raffle and everyone knew we were coming and I'm pretty sure the whole store was like ready for us, but we would move from one department to the next and there's always someone standing there waiting for us like, hey, what can we help you with?
Yeah.
I'm like, is it just because we're here or is this a normal thing? Then I went back later and I realized that's just a normal thing. Like yeah, you guys sure are is. Everywhere in that store.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's, you know, customer comes first, you know, if we're doing something else, if somebody comes, we're talking to somebody that customer comes first, because if we don't have people coming through those front doors, we don't have a job. So it's very important that we, you know, take care of those customers and treat them the way they deserve to be treated and get them the product they really need. So
they also say employee owned, right?
Yes, we are employee owned. It's privately owned. So we do have, there's a couple of things we are able to, we have a stock options program for employees and then we get company share options as well. So yeah, it's all privately owned. So it's not publicly traded, which is a good thing, I think, in my opinion. So,
Yeah, don't have to try to please, you know, 1,000 different stakeholders.
Correct. Absolutely.
Millions.
Millions. You know,
right.
Keep doing the things that made Shield successful.
Absolutely.
Then you ended up going from Nebraska to Minnesota to the Eden Prairie Shields when it opened.
Correct. Yes.
And then have you had the same job there the entire time you've been there?
Well, no. I started out part-time here in Eden Prairie as well, and then I got hired on full-time. The store opened in July of 2020. I got hired full-time in November of 2020. So,
what did you start as for your position, and what do you have now?
I started out as part-time hardline sales, and now I'm specialty shop manager over muzzle loading and cutlery. So,
that's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. Thing.
I'll have to come talk to you about some muzzle loading stuff. I'm trying to get into that.
Okay, we'll get you squared away, Brent. Come on up.
Yeah, technology is changing quite a bit with muzzle loaders.
Oh, absolutely, it is. It's really evolved a lot here in even the last couple of years. So,
I think that's always a pretty heated argument within that community. You know, trying to stay traditional versus the ones that are, like, you know, let's put a scope on this. Got the the board barrel. Right.
Yep. Yeah, it's really, like I said, the Tradition's got those nitro fires. Now they have, you just put the nitro fire sticks in there. You don't even touch any powder. You just push, it's almost like a shotgun shell, for lack of a better term. You just shove it in there, and you put your 209 primer and your bullet in there, and you don't even touch any powder. So it's almost like cheating. I mean, it's
pretty
legal,
cool, though. I mean,
yeah.
I mean, awesome. For people who are just starting to dabble in it too, you know, is ease and comfort is there.
Oh,
you know,
sure.
As they want to deep dive into it further, they can learn more on how to do the powder.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, and the cool part with muzzleloader too is Minnesota, you know, you have a longer season.
Yes.
Well, you can hunt later in the year. I mean, so as soon as rifle is done, then you can go hop on muzzleloader.
Absolutely, and that's one of the
things. With muzzleloader in Minnesota too, you can use that down the southern part of the state too, right?
Yes.
Right.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah. Well, and one of the things a lot of guys do is they'll use it to extend their rifle season. You know, they didn't get their buck during rifle season. They'll use that muzzle loading season to extend that season for them. So, which is really cool. So,
and it's a little bit more of a challenge. I know technology has changed and made it a little easier, but I mean, it is a bit of a challenge. You know, awesome. Take that one shot. No matter what you do with muzzle loader, after you got that, you know, that smoke pole, you got that giant cloud in front of you. No matter what happens,
it's
still one shot.
Yeah, it is 100%, and you've got to make that shot count. So,
and then you got to wait for the smoke to clear, get reloaded, and hopefully you did what you're supposed to do, and you're good
absolutely.
To go.
Absolutely,
that's cool. So I know Shields does a lot of community engagement type stuff. Do you want to talk about, you know, what your experiences have been with around what they do for community engagement?
Yeah, we do a lot of different things. And I've helped with up here, but you know, across the board. We help with the Meals on Wheels program here in Eden Prairie. I helped with that one time shortly after I started. There was an event we had in 2021 called Clays for a Cause, and basically it was for Pheasants Forever. And Shield donated a Franke shotgun over under 28 gauge. I forget the model off the top of my head. But all the money went towards Pheasants Forever. And then, you know, that money that we raised, there was four of us that shot sporting clays that day, and Shields sponsored, I believe, all four of us to shoot that day. And I forget what it totaled out to be, but basically what it was doing, you know, with Pheasants Forever, you guys probably well know the proceeds go to, like, help with habitat and restoration, preservation of the land. So it's a really good organization. One of the other ones, this one we had recently, was called Buy a Pack, Give a Pack program. Basically what it was, for kids that are going back to school, Shields would, if you bought a backpack there, they would give one back to a local organization like the United Way or different organizations where, you know, underprivileged can get a backpack for free. So, which is really cool. We also, there's one that I really like to do. It's called Feed My Starving Children. And it's over in, let's see, where we did it. I think it's in Chan. Is it Chanhassen? I think it's in Chanhassen. Basically what it is, we pack food and we send it out to these foreign countries. A lot of them are like in Africa and so on and so forth that are underprivileged. And what it is, it's dried food. And then we put it in boxes, send it over there. And all they have to do is add water to it and boil it. But it really kind of puts things in perspective to realize how fortunate we are, you know, as every day that we, you know, my wife and I talk about it on a regular basis on our first world problems. You know, we're worried about our car not working. These people don't have enough food to eat. So, I mean, if you take a look around, kind of put your life in perspective really quick. So, some other things we did, Shields has sponsored a new 3D archery range at one of the local gun clubs here. Let's see.
I love the notes. That means you got a lot going on.
Yeah, honestly, a lot of this stuff we could talk about. We could spend a whole hour talking about, because Shields really does do a lot where they give back, and I'm really proud that we do that. I mean, just,
no, it's great.
We're big supporter of the United Way. You know, obviously, we talked about how they're a big supporter of the military. They do offer a military discount. I don't know if you guys know that. So,
what is that for our listeners out there? What does that look like?
It's 5%. So if you bring in your military ID card, or you bring in like your VA card, something showing that you were in the military, it is a 5% discount. So pretty cool.
Better than zero.
100%. You bet. And they were very supportive of myself, especially when I was in the National Guard. You know, they were good about giving me time off if I needed time off, you know, to serve or whatever, which was really cool. One of the things they did around Memorial Day, they did that missing man table. I don't know if you guys are probably familiar with that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That's really cool. They do a good job of recognizing veterans on Veterans Day. I think it's really cool, too. So, one of the other things that I got to tell you, this story has kind of made me laugh. We had an event where the Girl Scouts was sponsored by Shields. The Girl Scouts were given they sold a certain number of cookies, and I don't remember the number. I apologize for that. But they got a $250 gift card, and they could come in and spend it on Shields before the store opened. Like, it was like the store opened at like 9. They had to come in like at 8. So they got a $250 gift card. And I was like, I come in early for this, and I was like, well, there's probably not going to be too many people up in the firearm department. And sure enough, we had some young gal. She wanted her first shotgun. She'd come up to mom. She goes, hey, mom, can I borrow your ID so I can get this shotgun?
And I'm like, no way.
That's awesome. I was like, I am not going to stand in the way of somebody, you know, wanting to
do their
first hunt. So
yeah. Hooked.
I was real. Yeah, I was like, that made me pretty proud. I'm not going to lie.
Right.
Probably one of the best uses of the $250 gift card.
Oh, 100%. Some of the moms, it was kind of funny because they weren't, a lot of them would not let their daughters or whatever, you know, just buy just frivolous clothes or whatever. They were actually, you know, making them buy, you know, something that would, you know, they could use over the course of time and not just, you know, have it for a year and throw it away or whatever. So I thought that was pretty cool. But yeah, that little young gal that wanted that, she wanted a 20-gauge shotgun, one of the youth ones. I was like, I am not going to stop you for that. So
that's awesome.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. But she wanted to know if she could borrow mom's ID or license so she could get a shotgun.
I love it.
So yeah,
that's great.
Anyways, but
yeah, I think it's pretty amazing. You know, Shields doesn't just focus on the outdoor area for giving back. They really focus on the community and then humanity as a whole. It seems, you know, I didn't know that they gave back to United Way doing the Feed My Starving Children and everything. So
yeah, for sure. And there's a lot of things I didn't put down either, but we do one major thing usually a month. I know my wife works at Children's Masonic Hospital in here. She's a nurse practitioner there, and I know one event we did, We bought some of these tag, I forget what they're called, the blankets, and you have to tie them. I forget what the name, tag blankets? I can't remember. But we were tying the blankets so we could send them up to the kids there. Just something, you know, simple like that. And then on, when was it? Valentine's, or in February, we did like where we sent the kids like frosting so they could decorate some cookies for Valentine's Day. And just, you know, just fun stuff like that. Not a huge deal, but just something kind of fun and, you know, kind of brighten their day. So
I know you guys have done stuff with United Heroes League. You know, that's a nonprofit that's local here in Minnesota too, out of Hastings. They provide sports equipment for youth of military children. And I've seen you guys do some stuff with either the Vikings as well as the Wild and the Twins, I think.
I believe that's correct. Yes.
Yeah. I mean, you guys always have something going on. I know they do they'll bring in some of these professional athletes and do autographs and stuff with them at the store. And
that was kind of, I got to tell you a funny story about that too. We had, I don't know if you've been in there, they have that robotic of John Randall there.
Yeah.
And he was in there. He did a signing. And I forget, it's been probably, I don't know, it was last year, I believe.
John Randall, for all our listeners, is a retired Minnesota Viking.
Yes. And he was a phenomenal defensive player. He's top 10 in sacks all time in the NFL or something, I believe. The guy was a phenomenal player. So anyways, he was in there, and there was a gal that was she was out there looking at the robotic, and he come up and he was standing, and he goes, would you like my autograph? And she didn't realize that it was actually him standing there.
That's awesome.
I've seen him in there a couple times, and it looks just like him. I mean, it's a ringer for him. So
I think I've met him once. He's a pretty down to earth person. You know,
yeah,
he's
not nice gonna, guy, super nice yeah. guy. So
he's not going to look down his nose at you. He'll talk
100%.
To you.
He will. Absolutely. Yeah. Really nice guy. So, I don't know. That was pretty cool. So,
and then Shields also does the, you know, it's not necessarily the Eden Prairie store, but I think Shields as a corporation, they do the Hometown Hero videos where they showcase a veteran or law enforcement officer, you know, one of the other
yes. heroes. Yep.
I believe they do that monthly.
Is it American Hero Outdoors?
Yeah, they partner with American Hero Outdoors to film those. And we actually had one of our Minnesota state directors showcased on there, Eric. That was probably, what, 6 months ago or so?
Yeah, Eric Reeds, he's our state director. Shields did the Hometown Hero with American Hero Outdoors with one of our state directors.
Oh, nice.
Eden Prairie. Yeah, so they met Austin cool. and Lauren.
Oh, yeah, sure.
So cool. Eric's a St. Paul police sergeant and also retired military. He was here in Minnesota, and he's a really good guy.
Cool. And he does for his position there with St. Paul Police, he does the
community engagements.
Community engagements, yep.
Okay, yep. Sure.
But the cool part, too, is, though, like, we approached Shields and Eden Prairie, and, you know, we sat down and told them what our mission was, and they were very supportive immediately, you know. And then we have a couple different states. Well, we're in 26 states, but a couple other states that have had pretty good support. I think the Colony Shields out of Texas has yes. given our Texas team a lot of support. I want to say Colorado Springs as well.
Yes.
So I think those are the three major ones that we've had relationships with, is the Texas, you guys, as well as Colorado Springs.
Sure.
And everyone's been very helpful and supportive of everything, and it's been very nice. I think that even Colorado Springs, I don't know if you guys consider anyone in your store pro staff, but I think a couple people that were employees within the fishing department actually did a fly fishing trip with some of our staff in Colorado, which was pretty cool.
It could be. Go ahead.
I think they went out in the fall, fall, did a trip with them.
Sure. We do have some pro staff sponsored people. I know for fishing, Johnny Candle is one of the guys that we sponsor, I know. And there's several people. I don't remember everybody, but that's the one that comes to mind. So,
and it's pretty amazing, you know, across Shields as a whole, you know, all the different stores are independently able to, you know, donate how they see fit through their through their programs. And, you know, I don't think there's ever been one that we've approached that said, you know, we can't help. You know, we've got the Eden Prairie store, you know, helping us out with the banquet, helping us out with the officer matching trip, and then going forward, and then the Colony, Texas, and the Eden Prairie, or the, not the Eden Prairie, the Colorado Springs Shields. They've guaranteed, you know, anytime that we're doing a larger trip there, that they allow people to come in and shop. And I think Eden Prairie has done that with a couple things as well.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, our legacy trip. It's our listeners heard me speak about it a couple of times, but it's a hunt that we're going to host for someone who's been through something catastrophic within their military or law enforcement career. And Austin said that whenever we pick someone, that fly them in, bring them in, whatever, we will outfit them for the trip, whatever it is. So that's pretty cool.
Oh, that's really cool. Yeah, I think that's I mean, like I said, you and I had pretty, we didn't have go through the terrible things that some of those folks did. So yeah, 100%. I think that's awesome that they're doing that for those guys.
Yeah, you work for a pretty awesome place. Pretty rare for people to find a home like that, where, especially in today's day and age with the controversy around everything that comes with everything, especially military and law enforcement, and for them to stand and say, no, we're still doing this. Yeah, and I think that's pretty a stand up.
Yeah, it is. It's a good company to work for. I really enjoy, I enjoy going to work every day. I really can honestly say that. There's very few days that I don't want to go to work. I don't have that here. I just, I really work with some great folks and a great organization. So it's nice to get up and be able to go to somewhere you like to go to work. So
did you get to make it to our banquet?
What's that?
Did you get to make it to our banquet?
Which one was that?
So we gave Shields a table at our banquet this last March. It was a full table.
No.
Well, we're going to get you there next year.
Okay.
Because we're going to continue this partnership with you guys, and we'd love to get you guys there.
Sure.
Just so you guys get different people who different walks of lives there, and you're a military vet, so it'd be good to get you there too. But they had a full table right in front of the stage this last year, and I think Lauren went. Austin did not get to go, but I know there were some other employees that went, and they spent a lot of money. I didn't expect that. I think someone bought a trip to Disney.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
and all the people that were there that attended the banquet were stand up individuals too. We went and talked to the obviously go around and talk to the tables, and I probably stayed and talked to that table for 20-30 minutes.
Oh, that's awesome.
Kim had to come yell at me to go do something else.
Right.
Well, one of the things that I've always noticed, if I go into the store after on a day that I'm off, it's difficult because you go in there and you end up talking to people for probably an hour and a half. It's everybody's very, outgoing, upstanding and whatever. But I love working there, but sometimes when I'm not, I'm off work, I don't like going there because everybody wants to talk and chat. And I'm like, oh, I gotta get, I want to get my stuff and kind of go, but I guess it's a great problem to have. So
yeah, right.
So
the people are engaging, which is good.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And the cool thing too was with our last year's raffle that we did. We went through and actually did the shopping in store. We pulled it all aside, and Shields was nice enough actually to take all the products that we had pulled off the shelves and put it on a pallet, and it sat in the back storage for 6 months until we did a raffle and we pulled it. And after we did a raffle, Shields was kind enough to actually ship everything to the winners. So that took that whole burden off our plate, which made everything really, really easy.
Oh, wow. That's cool. I didn't realize it did. That's awesome. That's really cool.
It's just easy people to get along with. They go the extra mile. They're there to listen. I actually got a solo stove from you guys not long ago.
Oh, very cool.
It was dented, but I called them up and I was like, hey, this is what happened. And they replaced it the next day. So it was really nice of them to do that.
Oh, that's awesome. What do you think of it though? Does it work pretty well?
I like it a lot. Sometimes they get torn. I mean, I love it. I think it's a great stove. They're beautiful. Right. And they're smokeless.
Right.
But sometimes I miss that smoke a little bit.
Yeah, but you don't have to like go shower after you get done though.
That's true. That is true.
You don't have to worry about moving around the fire pit.
Right. Yeah, that is true.
Right.
We had it out for Halloween and everyone loved it, and I like it a lot. It's worth the investment. The family, it's a good place to do stuff with the family.
Sure, absolutely. Absolutely. So.
And so how much history do you know about Shields and where it started? Wasn't it Fargo?
No, actually it started in Sabin, Minnesota in 1902. Frederick Shields started. What it was, he sold the profits from, I believe, was it 3 acres of potatoes, and then they opened a general store, and then it kind of went from there. But it was Sabin, Minnesota. The headquarters is in Fargo, but yeah, it started in Sabin, Minnesota.
That's cool.
Yep.
Little hardware store, right?
Hardware store, yep. And then it kind of just went from there. My first experience with Shields was in when I was stationed in Montana. I'd never seen a Shields before, and they had a store there in Great Falls, and so that was my first experience with Shields. So But yeah, it started in 1902, so we've been around for a while. So.
Yeah, I mean, I really never experienced Shields. My cousins up, I have a lot of family up in North Dakota, Fargo, Grand Forks area, and they always talked about Shields, but I never went, you know, and the Shields Arena, and I'm like, man, this place must be legit, you know, and then I came in here, and I walked in, and my mind exploded.
Yeah, for sure. It's a little intimidating. It's funny when we get customers who've never been there for the first time, and they're overwhelmed. They're just like, oh, wow, I didn't expect this. And I'm like, yeah, it's, you know, I would tell them, I say, if you don't have time today, come back and then, you know, next week or whatever, when you have a little more time. Cause to be honest with you, I go downstairs. Sometimes I work upstairs, obviously. And there's still things I see down there. I'm like, wow, that's really cool. I didn't know we had that.
It's like going to Disney World where you got to come back multiple days to
really experience. 100%. So,
an open credit card.
What's that?
Yeah. Yeah,
and an open credit card.
I can help you with that. I'm really good.
I already got one. Don't worry.
We'll get you some points, my friend.
Yeah. Oh no. I got. Oh man. It's probably a good thing it's an hour and a half away from me.
But yeah, no. It's, you know, the thing I think is kind of unique about Shields is too that it doesn't matter who you are. You know, you can be a 5-year-old kid or you can be a 95-year-old person. There's something for everybody there. You know, it's not specifically geared towards one age group or one person. There's something for everybody. So, I mean, if you want to eat food, you can go down to Jenna's Cafe. You can, if you want to decorate your house, you can go over to Home Decor. You know, there's just so many different things.
Well, you guys got a corner with Legos too.
Yeah. And there's a giant Viking statue down there. So it's pretty cool. And this is going to sound nerdy as can be. My brother-in-law, every year, what I get him for Christmas is a Lego Star Wars set. He's a huge Star Wars nerd, and he loves Legos. So
nothing wrong with that.
Giving me a hard time about it. And I'm like, well, it's, you know, that's what he wants. And I'm like, it's not for me. It's for him. He's my, you know, we're the same age. So I'm like, get my 46-year-old brother-in-law Legos. So, you know, hey, whatever works for you, man.
Yeah, we all have our niche, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's cool. So.
Well, we're coming up on an hour here. Dan, do you have any other further questions you want to ask?
Not that I can think of. You know, I think there's all these different outdoor stores, the big ones, the small ones. And, you know, I try to ask everyone that comes on, you know, obviously you guys are supporters of us and we pitch you guys as much as possible for all the companies that support us. If someone was debating, you know, whether they go to Shields or, you know, find you guys online, do some online shopping because it's convenient these days for everyone. What's something that you would tell someone, you know, to draw them to Shields rather than going to Amazon or one of the other big name stores?
Well, one of the big things I think that's kind of unique about us, I mean, you can get some of the same products on some of these, you know, your Amazon, some of your different retailers, but with us, you get service after the sale. You know, one of our mottos is there's no, you know, you don't take a chance at Shields. If you have something, if it's, you know, if you don't like it, you can bring it back for the most part. I mean, there's certain things that we won't take back, but for the most part, you can get things, you know, get that service after the sale and you get that helpful person that's going to, you know, guide you through it. And, or you don't get that human interaction like you would on some of the, you know, the online stuff. So, but yeah, service after the sale is one of the big ones. And just somebody that's going to help you, that's going to have be knowledgeable and help you through the process. You know, if you're new to a certain sport, we can walk you through it and give you all the information you're going to need that, you know, whereas, you know, online's going to probably give you 20 different answers and not lead you in the right direction. So, I don't know.
And I never felt like you guys actually like try to upsell me when I'm there.
No, you know, and we, you know, everybody there's, I, one of the questions that I don't, people will ask me, well, what is the best firearm? Well, it kind of depends, you know, are you just starting out or are you more advanced in the process? You know, so there's not really a right or wrong question. It's kind of like, do I want a Ford or do I want a Maserati? There's not really a right or wrong answer there. It's just whatever, you know, what you're after. So, I mean, they're both, you know, they'll both get you from point A to point B, but what's going to, you know, suit your needs and what your wants. So.
Well, that's a great angle to take though, you know, not to upsell, but to find what's going to fit you and get you where you need to go.
Right.
That's good. Well, thank you, sir. You know, we're going to have to get you on one of our bird hunts here, you know, now that we met and you're a 20-year sure. military guy. So yep. we'll have to get you out on one of our bird hunts. I know sure. we have some stuff that in the works. I know Team Minnesota here does a lot of bird hunts in the fall, and okay. They are working on some additional hunts with new property here coming up. So I'm kind of excited. I can't quite push that out there because that's their kind of gem that they need to push out. But
oh, sure.
Once that gets out there, you know, there's some new opportunities that'll be available to our members or people who fall within our bylaws. So that's exciting. So mm-hmm. we'll have to get you on one of those.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. I look forward to it.
Dan unmuted his mic. He had something to say.
Oh no, I was just ready for the conversation. I've got my dog where he's not going to whine, so I can keep my mic unmuted.
That's all good. Yeah, no. So, we'll get you on one of our hunts, and we really appreciate you coming on and being able to talk about your life, your military service, your outdoor mm-hmm. passions, as well as you know your experience with Shields. Again, we absolutely love Shields. You know, everyone there is great people. They are good to us. They will be good to you. Their variety of everything is expansive. And they're very huge proponents of, you know, who we serve, military and law enforcement. And
I appreciate you guys for your service as well, too.
Yeah, no.
I really do. Not a problem. Mean that from the bottom of my heart. So,
yeah. Well, I'm glad Austin and Lauren got you on the show, and that was nice of them. And then we'll continue to have additional conversations. When I come in, I'll have to come say hi.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Come up and say hi there.
And make sure for all those that are listening, you know, make sure, you know, stop in at Shields or go to their website and support those who support us.
Absolutely.
You know,
and I think one of the biggest knowledge
and everything too is huge.
One of the biggest staples too, I think that kind of speaks loudly about them is when you walk in, they have these massive statues.
Yes. Yeah. The Paul Bunyan.
Yeah. Paul Bunyan, the military, you know, there's wide variety, and it just shows that it's embedded in who they are. So it's pretty awesome.
Right. Appreciate that.
Well, sir, thank you very much. We appreciate you coming on. For anyone who's out there listening, we just want to say that if you're finding yourself in a dark time or having difficult days or evenings, that, you know, the suicide awareness hotline or who to call is now changed to, is it 988?
988, yep.
988, so it's been simplified. So please reach out if you're having a difficult time, and or reach out to us at Hometown Hero Outdoors. We have individuals who are certified with our assist training and can help you get through those dark moments to get to the next place. We want you to stay with us, so absolutely. Appreciate everyone tuning in and listening to us, and thank you again, sir.
Yeah, thank you. Appreciate you
coming on.
Thank you.
All right.
And until next time, see you guys out on the water and in the woods.
Thank you for listening to the Hometown Hero Outdoors Podcast. For more information about Hometown Hero Outdoors, visit our webpage at www.hometownherooutdoors.org.